Bugle, audio newspaper for a visual world.
Hello, Buglers, and welcome to issue 143 of The Bugle, the official podcast of the revolutionary democratization of the Arab world, and also the official podcast of Apples, the thinking man's chicken sandwich, and the European Institutes of Frowning and Facial Disappointments, and our charity partners, the Virus. That's both an antivirus and pro-bacterial organization. I'm Andy Zaltzman, or as Hosni Mubarak now refers to me, the harbinger of unstoppable rebellion. And I'm in my traditional power base of London, England. And joining me, bit of a surprise here, it's the former Egyptian leader and supposed assassination victim, Anwar Sadat. Oh, I have just been informed that Sadat did actually die in 1981. But we do have his nearest available human equivalent, the man who very definitely has never been assassinated yet. It's John Oliver.
Hello, Andy. Hello, Buglers. I'm not in New York.
Oh, yeah.
This
Sorry.
Week, as you can probably tell by the phone I'm speaking down.
Oh, yeah,
I'm in a hotel in Cleveland, Ohio, Andy. It
right.
just doesn't get more glamorous than this. That's just a fact. In fact, I'm just around the corner at the moment from the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, which really is your natural destination one day, Andy.
One
There's
day.
No way that your Florence Nightingale rap is going to be ignored by the music history for much longer. Can't be done. Now, the other notable thing about Cleveland, of course, is that LeBron James abandoned it for Miami, and in doing so, he f***ed this city, Andy. He f***ed it hard. It's not easy for a man to f*** an entire city, but LeBron James managed it. And not only that, he did it by holding a primetime hour-long special on ESPN that he forced the entire population of Cleveland to watch before essentially ending it by telling them to their face that he was going to f*** them. And in doing so, in many ways, he double f***ed them. And in fact, just since I've been here, they lost their 22nd game in a row, which is one away from the NBA record of consistent losses. And they're playing the Grizzlies tonight in Memphis, and I, for one, would encourage them to lose that game, Andy, because whilst it's a record that no one really wants, it's a record nonetheless, and it may well be the only title this city could win in sports over the next 100 years anyway.
Yeah, of course. He sounds like the Caligula of Cleveland.
Oh, he sure is, yeah. I mean, he pumped Cleveland hard.
22, so I mean, it does start to look that they were a bit of a one-man team.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were. They definitely weren't as much of a one-man team as this particular run suggests, but it's a pretty impressive effort nonetheless, or lack of effort.
Yep. Oh, well, they should play a proper sport. So this is Bugle 143 for the week beginning Monday, the 7th of February 2011, meaning that it is no longer acceptable to swear at buses if you don't like the look of them, or to cry in restaurants if your pudding is slightly disappointing. I'm sorry, those days are over. The world moves on. Accept it and deal with it. Bugle 143, we now have done the same number of bugles as signed photographs of Condoleezza Rice, owned by Condoleezza Rice. Whenever she was feeling a little bit down about, for example, the disastrous state of world affairs unfolding in front of her very eyes, she would send herself a self-addressed envelope asking for a signed photo. It arrived in the post a couple of days later, giving her a nice little confidence boost before another hard day at the office. At least someone still supports me, she would smile, as she really went to town on those double Zs. Section in the bin this week, as always, a section of the audio newspaper going straight in the bin. This week, Gadgets 2011. We review all the must-have gadgets for this year, including the Shankhound Reassuro Buddy 3000, the pocket-sized friend that never disagrees with you, programmable to fully back up your worldview and personal opinions. The Reassuro Buddy 3000 will be a pal to you whenever your real friends think you're being an unreasonable tool, an offensive prick, or a general pain in the arse. Set the Reassuro Buddy 3000's customizable settings how you want, whether you're hard right-wing or blindly communist, cold-bloodedly practical or wishy-washily idealistic, a tolerant and friendly philanthrope, or a short-tempered bigot, and the Reassuro Buddy will back you up with generally supportive comments like, "Damn right, mate, couldn't have put it better myself," and "Yeah!" as well as more specific internet-generated political and personal remarks, insults, and out-of-context bendy microfax trademark about whatever you are talking about. New for the Reassuro Buddy 3000, the over-the-top button to make the Reassuro Buddy go way further and more extreme than you. Not only can it make you think you're right about something, but now with the OTT facility, it can make you think you're actually being quite reasonable about it by comparison. The Reassuro Buddy 3000, because you're not always right, but you always want someone to tell you that you are. And also we review the Scravington Beard Reassembler. Have you shaved your beard off recently, only to regret it later? Keep your facial shavings in the Scravington's zinc-coated airtight microvault. And when you start to long wistfully for the days when your face was more like a dog's face, just place your head in the Scravington beard reassembler, and it will calculate where each individual hair should go, then fire those hairs back into your face from its patented mini-cannons. Hey presto, unshorn again. We'll also work with other people's beards. If you can steal a celebrity's beard, you could blast it into your own face and become literally a bit of a celebrity. Price $1,299, excluding VAT. Comes with complimentary free practice beard shaved from willing participants in Venezuela. May cause rickets. Do not use if you think you may be female. Not recommended for the under fives. Do not use in space or other zero-gravity environments. Do not attempt to use if you are dead. May result in right-wing views. Do not use if already taking beard enhancement medicines. Do not use as a prank on a priest, not even a Muslim one. Do not use on public transport unless it is heading north at between 40 and 60 miles an hour. May prevent breathing. May cause divorce. Unauthorised use in game shows will be prosecuted. Not licensed for military usage except in emergency battlefield situations. Not suitable for use in veterinary surgical operations other than on a goat's nutsack. Sneezing during use could result in fatal injuries and or hairy eyeballs. Do not use if pregnant, confused or a wrestler. May be used in conjunction with the Scravington Smile Retractor, the Scravington Yawn Converter and the Scravington Cough Interpreter. Approved by the Catholic Church. Insect repellent. In the bin.
I think you're legally covered there. Top story this week, fight like an Egyptian. Well, as we recorded the Bugle last week, Andy, there were calls for another day of rage in Cairo, and despite the internet blackouts that, as we pointed out, had absolutely nothing to do with all the cables ripped straight out of the wall that President Mubarak was seen hiding behind his back, that day of rage turned into a weekend of fury, followed by a full 7 days of total mayhem. Now, first and foremost, our thoughts and best wishes must go to our Egyptian buglers. I know that there are a number of you in Cairo. We hope you're all safe. But what has happened between last week and now? Well, sadly, a number of people have lost their lives, huge amounts of people have been hurt, and somehow Mubarak is still in some kind of power. It's a miracle, really, if miracles were all achieved through mass displays of state brutality. I don't know, maybe that's how Jesus cured Lazarus. He just kept beating him with a stick until he got up. But just yesterday, in an interview with ABC News, Mubarak said he would like to resign immediately, but fears that the country would descend into chaos if he did. Has he looked out of his window any time in the last week, Andy? The country's already in chaos. In fact, every day he stays in power seems to bring the country he claims to love closer to civil war. This emotional double-down is going to have to stop pretty soon as more and more of the international community look like they're about to cut him off.
He also said in another interview that he is, quotes, fed up. And,
No shit, he's fed up.
Yeah. I have had it up to here with these protests. But maybe that will persuade the protesters, John. Maybe they'll, you know, he's playing the sympathy card. You know, like a beleaguered mother trying to control her gaggle of noisy children. But he's just saying, I am fed up. I mean, no supper.
How fed up with him being in power does he think the thousands of protesters are who are in Liberation Square having bricks thrown at them? Pretty fed up, I'd imagine. But you know what? I can, in a way, see his point as well, because hundreds of thousands of people rioting in the street screaming your name will make you feel a bit peeved. Now, if I had 250,000 people outside my office chanting about how shit I was at my job, I'd probably get fed up of it after a few days too.
I mean, he's one step away from just coming and saying, come on, I'm 82.
But maybe focus maybe on my age. I'm a vulnerable senior citizen.
It might dissuade the protesters. They might just think, we want real change. We want genuine change. We want to sweep aside decades of corruption in the corridors of power. Oh, poor little Hosni's fed up. Oh, sorry, Hosni. Poor little Hosni. Hosni. Oh.
Perhaps the classiest response so far to the events in Cairo this week came from the fashion designer Kenneth Cole, who sent out a tweet using the Cairo hashtag to promote his spring line of clothes, saying, and I quote, millions are in uproar in hashtag Cairo. Rumour is they heard our new spring collection online at, and then he links to his website. Wow. I mean, look, credit to him, Andy, that takes some doing. To see people beaten unconscious on TV and say, do you know what, this might actually be a great opportunity to get people to also think about my unquestionably excellent mid-range clothing. In fact, when you clicked on the link that he had, it went straight to the Kenneth Cole website, where the spring collection is branded Out with the Cold, In with the New, which, in some ways, is a very appropriate message at this time. It really is the sartorial equivalent of what is happening in Egypt right now. The Egyptian people want Out with the Cold, In with the New too, but in their case, the cold represents the removal of a brutally oppressive regime, rather than throwing out a wardrobe of equally oppressive bulky cable knit sweaters. Yes, they're different, but they're also essentially the same. They want a fresh, new, young government, just like the fresh, bold colours and silhouettes that are available in Kenneth Cole's new collection for men, women and children. I told you, Andy, after Oakley sunglasses got so much free advertising after those Chilean miners wore them on the way out of the mine, no brand was ever going to risk getting beaten to the punch again next time there was a media firestorm around something. And I know that Reebok have been preparing to airdrop sneakers into Yemen if it looks like there may be a run on government buildings there.
I certainly know that Coca-Cola did very well when every time a sentence was being read out of the Nuremberg trials, the judge cracked open a nice, refreshing bottle of Coke.
Well, that's really taken the edge off this extremely depressing day. I guess it's the sugar jolt. Kenneth Cole himself apologised for the tweet, saying that he never intended to make light of the very serious situation. So he never intended to do it, Andy. He just did it effortlessly. He didn't intend to do it. It was instinctive. It just came that naturally to behave that crassly.
But it's interesting that it's not just Mubarak who wants Mubarak to stay, but Tony Blair wants him to as well, as does Silvio Berlusconi. Who has clearly mistaken him for a teenage girl. But, you know, he does use a lot of products on his hair, and he does look pretty good for his age, but not that good. But Blair described Mubarak as immensely courageous and a force for good. And
now, Andy, when he said that, yeah, was it on a grainy video sent from Cairo with Mubarak standing behind Tony Blair with a machine gun?
With a machine gun and a suitcase full of used non-sequential £10 notes.
Yeah, or was it said of his own free, deeply misguided will?
Well, I don't know. I mean, it's such a fine line with Blair, and sometimes he can't even tell it himself. But he said, essentially, the message from Blair, that incorrigible purveyor of democracy to the disenfranchised, to the Egyptian people was, people of Egypt, you don't know what's good for you, I do, because I am Tony f***ing Blair. I'm afraid you're just too close to the situation to see the full picture, but I'm Tony f***ing Blair. Trust me, I'm Tony f***ing Blair. If you want democracy, the best way to get it long term is not to have democracy. Trust me, put your placards down and trust me, I'm Tony f***ing Blair. You're only still alive because of me. I could have nuked the lot of you. Remember that. Love lift us up where we belong, because I'm Tony f***ing Blair. Tony f***ing Blair.
Did Blair win a bet saying that, Andy? If he did, I hope it was worth it, because there is no real other rational explanation that makes sense. It seems that the only current people behind Mubarak are Colonel Gaddafi, Tony Blair, Silvio Berlusconi, and Mubarak himself. You really don't want to find yourself in that foursome.
No, that's true. I mean, Berlusconi said that, I hope in Egypt there can be a transition towards a more democratic system without a break from President Mubarak, who in the West, above all in the United States, is considered the wisest of men and a precise reference point. And I guess that's got to be a boost for the anti-Mubarak protesters. If Berlusconi is saying that, you can just assume that the exact opposite is true. But America does, they have been slightly hedging their bets. It does seem they're kind of seeing and Just making sure which way that the wind is blowing before urinating all over their own trousers.
I don't know how hedged those bets have been in the last day, though, Andy, because if, as now seems incredibly and depressingly possible, Mubarak does somehow manage to hold on to power, it is going to put America in an awkward situation, because they pretty much hung him out to dry a couple of days ago when it seemed like he had absolutely no chance whatsoever. And I don't know what any future phone calls with him are going to consist of. Just them saying, hey, buddy, how's it going? What's that? You heard we said, what about you? What, that it was time for an immediate transition? Oh, come on, Hosni, you didn't take that seriously, did you? We were just razzing on you, just busting your balls. Don't be so sensitive. You know what they say, you only call for the immediate overthrow of the leaders you love the best, huh? Hosni? Hosni? Yeah, he must have gone through a tunnel.
What's Hosni short for?
I don't know.
It sounds like a football style abbreviation, doesn't it?
Probably, yeah. That's true, yeah. Just have one word written on the back of his suit. Yeah. There have been reports of some serious looting of ancient Egyptian artefacts in Cairo.
That is our job! That is our f***ing job!
It may well be.
Keep out of it, Egypt!
It may well be that the Egyptian army now have to protect the museums in Cairo from the hordes of British museum curators offering to look after them for a while. And by a while, they of course mean the next 1,000 years.
There's been concern expressed by Mubarak and by the likes of Blair as well that the Muslim Brotherhoods could take advantage of the vacuum power to take over in Egypt and install an Islamist regime, the Muslim Brotherhood. Or, let's not be sexist about it, it might be the Muslim Sisterhood as well. We're all equal these days. It is just as likely to be the Sisterhood who take over and install a repressive Islamist regime.
The Muslim Sisterhood of the Travelling Pants.
Which doesn't seem to be what the protesters are calling for, to be fair. I haven't seen a lot of people out on the streets calling for hardline Islamism. But it's hard to tell from a distance, you know. I certainly haven't heard a lot of people chanting, "What do we want? To be told what to do and how to live by an even more controlling regime. When do we want it? For the foreseeable future, please." The Ayatollah in Iran has been calling for an Islamist regime. And butt out, big dog, that's what I would say to you. It's all been a bit of harmless fun, and you come in and try and spoil it. Typical Ayatollah.
Well, that's it. The American government have been criticising Iran for meddling in this situation, which is a bit rich, considering that is all they've been doing. Not just last week, but for the last decade. The US government was negotiating directly with Cairo just yesterday about when and how Mubarak should go. We really couldn't be meddling any more in this situation, but the rule seems to be that America was meddling first. They called dibs on this situation.
David Cameron said today at an EU summit, he said that steps taken so far had, quotes, not met the aspirations of the Egyptian people.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
Which, I don't know. Well, it sounded a little bit rich coming from Mr. Cameron, whose big society scheme seems to be falling apart. Liverpool City Council have basically told Big Society where to stick itself, on the grounds that all the government have provided for Big Society as an initiative seems to be the words big and society, and no explanation of what those two words mean when they're put next to each other. Other protest news now, and in Idaho, a woman has pled guilty to squirting mayonnaise and ketchup onto library books. And this apparently stemmed from an argument with this is a 75-year-old woman in Boise.
No, 75-year-old thug,
Andy. 75-year-old bitch. Is it Boise or Boys?
It's Boise.
Little Boise.
Little Boise, Idaho.
Boise and Osni are a terrific pair up front. And she was squirting an assortment of condiments, including ketchup, maple syrup and mayonnaise, into the book deposit box of her local library due to conflicts she'd had in the past with staff and the library patrons. And so they had to install a surveillance system. And there have been... And I think 10 separate incidents in which books had been damaged by squirty bottles. Well, I guess, you know, we all like to protest, John, when we're not happy with it. And there's just different ways of expressing our dissatisfaction. Some people, for example, the Egyptians, take to their streets in their hundreds of thousands and wave placards demanding change. Others squirt mayonnaise onto library books. You know, each is equally valid, John. You know, I know when I read a book and I want to review it, the most obvious medium I have is through the squirty bottle. You know, if I don't like a book, bit of cheap salad cream. If it's okay, splash of ketchup. If it's awesome, I douse the little bastard in a balsamic glaze. And if it's the best book I've ever read, spicy barbecue sauce.
So what book, Andy, has got the spicy barbecue sauce treatment?
Well, Vanilla Ice's autobiography.
Yeah.
Which did, I mean, it was interesting, but it did feel like he pretty much ripped it off the diaries of the explorer Shackleton on his journey to the Antarctic.
Are you sure, Vanilla Ice, that you wrote this? It's just it talks a lot more about expeditions than it does time in the studio, creating the song Rollin' in my 5.0.
trying but failing to shoot elephants news now, and a Polish man who apparently had always dreamed of shooting an elephant, it's good to have an achievable aspiration in life,
yeah,
has sued a German travel agent after it sent him to a part of Africa where he claimed there were no elephants. The company defended itself. And the company owner said, from what I know, he should have seen the elephant excrement there. Now, you know, that clearly is not the same as seeing an elephant to shoot.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
he didn't say, I want to shoot elephant shit.
Exactly.
He wanted to shoot the elephant.
Yes.
Whether it was actively shitting or not. I don't know if that was a factor. He did not want to shoot a pile of elephant shit. And this guy is he's suing for $130,000 of damages because he did not get his elephant to shoot. He must have really, really wanted to shoot an elephant, John. I mean, that is a lot of psychological damage, $130,000 worth.
For a start, though, Andy, what a profoundly creepy dream that is for a little boy growing up in Poland to have. When I grow up, I want to shoot an elephant in the head. Hopefully they'll be even more endangered then, so it will feel extra special.
Well, that's survival of the fittest, isn't it? It's basic Darwinism. It's me or the elephant. One of us has got to go.
And as you say, he is suing for damages of $130,000, despite the fact that apparently the company organised a second trip for him, during which he did manage to kill a male elephant. So, you know, at least there's a happy ending to the story, Andy. An elephant was eventually killed for no reason other than to make one Polish douchebag happy. What a spectacular arsehole.
Well, we don't. Maybe it was a severely ill elephant that was happy to. I mean, maybe this is what these holidays do. Come and euthanise a depressed and terminally ill elephant.
That's a nice way to look at it.
Help nature. Put it back in the food chain.
An act of kindness.
That's right.
Rather than an act of breathtaking arrogance.
Go and, find your elephant, take it to a clinic in Switzerland, and shoot it with a needle. Well, you would have thought that, you know, he could have just bought a computer game. I assume I don't have a games console, John. You've got an elephant shooting game, haven't you?
Yeah, of course I do, yeah. It's the old Duck Hunt, but it's just modified a bit on the Nintendo.
Right. And you get to collect tusks and things.
Yeah, that's right. You get little tusks and
tusks.
Mementos. Yeah. it's a fun game, albeit morally abhorrent.
China news now, and the Chinese state broadcaster has broadcast footage of an explosion in an attempt to show a military display of power. And it's turned out that footage was taken from the film Top Gun.
It's a good film.
It's a great film. You know,
it's a good volleyball-based film.
It's probably the best film ever made.
Yeah,
I'd say.
Did you, when you saw that film, Andy? Did you smear the screen with barbecue sauce?
I did, John. I did. Oh, well, that's what Kelly McGillis can do to a man. But President Hu, responding to questions about footage of a press conference, which it appeared that he got drunk in a bar with his best buddy and their respective wives, added, come on, people, be realistic. We weren't going to use a scene from Cocktail, were we? And if we stop using Tom Cruise films, our trade with the West will collapse. And then where will we be? We'd be skint and you'd be naked. And the Chinese defence minister, my wing man, defended the footage, saying, come on, he's right. McGillis was H.O.T.
Feature section now, and birds. And the key update regarding birds, Andy, is that the birds in Arkansas from a few weeks ago, still dead.
Ah, shit!
Still dead. There was no twist in that story. They didn't fall out of the sky dead, lie there, then miraculously wake up and fly off, spelling out, fooled you suckers, in skywriting.
I've lost a lot of money on that bet.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's still in it. It's not over yet.
Well, if Jesus could do it, why can't a flock of birds from Arkansas?
Reasoning as he pushed the £5 note across the table, wasn't
that's
it?
That's right. 10-1 seemed decent odds.
But there is other dead bird news. A group of birds in Romania that were thought to have died from avian flu apparently instead drank themselves to death.
That's Eastern Europe. That's the world of post-communism, John. For some people, it's the only way out.
Local veterinary officials decided that these starlings had died after eating grape mark, leftovers from the winemaking process. Have we ruled that out in the Arkansas bird death, Andy? Could they have all have just collectively got wasted and suddenly forgotten how to fly? Oh, I'm so drunk, Philip. What are we supposed to do with our wings? Oh, now you come to mention it, I don't know, Terence. Is it just hold them completely still by the side of our bodies? That sounds right. Let's try that. Ouch!
Well, I guess the other thing is, John, you know, why not? You know, if you're a bird, you look at the world and you think, what the f*** have I got to live for? You know, life of constant stress, migrations, bereavements, loss and the desolation of the egg. You know, it's understandable, John, if that's... That's the way out that they saw.
Well, I'm never going to look at birds in the same way again, Andy, without thinking about the fundamental futility of bird life.
In other bird news, Colombian police captured a carrier pigeon that apparently was being used to smuggle drugs into a prison. And again, you see, I mean, it's going to happen, John. Pigeons are just so easily influenced.
Yeah.
And it's easy to talk them into that. You know, you just kind of gain their confidence. And you say, oh, can you just do me a favour? Just a little favour. It's really nothing. It'll just help our relationship. And, you know, if you really love me, Mr. Pigeon, you will take this bag of cocaine up your arse and fly into that prison.
Well, that's it. You see, the bird was apparently caught trying to fly into the jail in the northeastern city of Bucaramanga with marijuana and cocaine paste strapped to its back, but did not make it. Now, hold on. Strapped to its back? That is not how drug mules operate, Andy. That pigeon should have had those drugs shoved firmly up its arse and then flown over the top of the prison with a copy of a newspaper and some dried figs and then dropped those drugs into the recreation area. That is a terrible drug-smuggling pigeon, and now it's captured, and it had better keep its beak shut, because they're going to offer it all kinds of deals if it'll give up who it's working for. Look, just fly back to who sent you wearing this wire, and we'll put you in the pigeon protection program. We'll change your name, set you up with a beautiful new coop, and you'll live out the rest of your days in sunny Arizona. What do you say? Police believe that the pigeon failed because the 45-gram drug package was too heavy for the pigeon to fly with. See, Andy, it's the classic story. Drug smugglers get caught when they start getting greedy. The pigeon could so easily have just made two trips.
What happened to the pigeon? I mean, because it's strict liability, really, isn't it? It's no excuse to...
Well, the problem actually was not just the weight of the drugs. The 45 grams of drugs would have been okay. It was when you consider the 950-gram handgun that they'd strapped under his wing so it could protect itself.
And also, yeah, it would have got away with it if it hadn't shat it all over the prison governor's car. Dead bird obituary now, and it has emerged that one of the birds which died in the mysterious mass bird deaths in Arkansas after New Year was a starling called Aurelio Starling Stronk, who once famously shat on Donald Rumsfeld's car. Aurelio, aged 8, hatched in 2002, although he never met his father, whose obsession with trying to hump aeroplanes proved ultimately fatal. After an unremarkable chickhood, Aurelio became increasingly obsessed with crapping on cars, and after years of experimentation with altitude, velocity and release power, perfected a technique which created what he himself described as, quotes, abstract expressionist installation shit. And acknowledged Jackson Pollock and Cy Toomley as major influences, as well as 2-year-old Davey Strahorn from Little Rock, whose work and techniques Aurelio studied one afternoon whilst eating some nuts on the bird table in his garden. However, Aurelio became increasingly disillusioned with his lack of recognition in Arkansas artistic circles, and said in an interview in 2008, "They think I just shit on cars, but it's so much more than that. I'm reflecting on the unbridled consumerism of modern society and the mess it leaves behind." He soon abandoned his artwork and started focusing all his energies on crapping on celebrities' cars. He admitted, "I'm a victim of modern society and culture." Other celebrities whose cars Aurelio was rumoured to have targeted include Al Pacino's Volkswagen Passat, Maggie Gyllenhaal's Ford Capri, Joe Montana's Nissan Micra, and Nancy Sinatra's Lamborghini Penis. Controversial name for a car, but boy did it move. That is Aurelio Starling Stronk, who's died at 8. Bird Fact Box. When a chicken lays an egg, it clucks in Morse code the words, "Better out than in." When Noah was on board the Ark with 2 of every species, he got hammered one night and ate a pair of ducks. He felt guilty in the morning and had to ask God to make him a new set. God agreed, but called Noah a greedy prick and told him if he ate any more of the creatures he was supposed to be saving, he would, quote, need a f***ing good wetsuit and an extremely durable snorkel. The reason birds have beaks is because evolutionarily they're related to trees. The beak was originally the roots of the tree, which is why birds eat by pecking their beaks onto the ground. Celebrities who own birds include the actress and chess champion Kim Basinger, who keeps a flock of albatrosses in her Los Angeles apartment, which she intends to ride to safety on if ever an asteroid hits the Earth. Country legend Garth Brooks has a pet ostrich called Tammy, who he sings duets with in the bath. Golfer Colin Montgomery keeps a nesting puffin in the bottom of his golf bag. He believes this will help him score more birdies. When you next watch Monty play, have a look at what's flapping in the back pocket as he struts down the fairway. Is it a golf club, or is it a herring for Beaky Sue? Your emails are being delayed because John's got to go.
That's right.
That's what happens in Ohio. Apparently it's a lot busier as a place than New York.
That's right. The motto of Ohio is Cleveland waits for no man, Andy.
quick Super Bowl prediction, John.
Yep.
Who's going to win?
Well, I hope with all my heart that Green Bay win, Andy. The right. Steelers have not only won too much, but Ben Roethlisberger is, and this is the nicest thing I can think to say about him, he's flawed as a human being. He's deeply flawed.
But it's Packers against the Steelers, and I think, with reference to Egypt, we do know Hosni Mubarak's a big gridiron fan. In fact, he's had his own Sphinx made with Peyton Manning's face, the body of Randy Moss, and the butt of Antoine Randle L. Randy Moss is only...
That would have taken a lot of bricks.
Yeah. Randy Moss, the last thing you want in your garden. But Mubarak will be watching on his special telly, saying to himself, right, I've got to make a decision. If the Packers win, I pack my bags. If the Steelers win, I steel myself to carry on.
Wow.
So big pressure game. Rodgers and Roethlisberger have the entire future of the Egyptian nation and the Afro-Middle Eastiac region in their hands. Well, maybe Roethlisberger thinks North Africa needs stability and he'll deliberately start throwing interceptions.
Well, let's see if he starts playing like that. Yeah. Or if he really thinks, yeah, he needs an iron hand.
Yeah, we'll see. You can hear all the news from the Super Bowl first on the Bugle about a week after it happens. That's a press blackout until then. We've got exclusives on it. Bye-bye, John.
Goodbye, Andy.
Say hello to Ohio from me.
I'll do that. I'll put my head out the window now and scream it.
Good. I want to hear you do that. I want to hear you do that. So that's it from John, but I've got a couple of your emails. Amongst some phenomenally long and well-calculated emails that we might hopefully have time for next week, and spectacular pictures of the most anatomically correct giant snow penis I've ever had the honour and fortune to look upon. This came in from Heath in New Orleans. On the subject, Bugle Wikipedia references. He writes, Dear John, Andy and Chris, ranked according to overindulgence of the term Belgian waffle. I was listening to episode 142 in which John and Andy credited the Bugle with single-handedly sowing the seeds of democracy in Egypt by encouraging buglers to emasculate President Hosni Mubarak in haiku form, and couldn't help but notice the pride exuding from John's paws over the mention of the Bugle on Mubarak's Wikipedia entry. That pride is entirely justified. Therefore, I took it upon myself to search Wikipedia for every mention of the Bugle and found the following. Besides Hosni Mubarak, the Bugle is mentioned on the Wikipedia entries for Answer Me This, that's my sister's podcast, that's understandable, The Island of Sark, Cryptic Crosswords, Emperor Norton, who had proclaimed himself in 1859 to be the Emperor of the United States and Protector of Mexico. He appeared as a hottie from history. The A303, certainly Britain's greatest trunk road. I had the honour and privilege of driving both down and back up it yesterday in order to go to a gig in Exeter. But to be honest, I'd probably have done it anyway, even without the gig. Rushcliffe School, Silvio Berlusconi, fair enough, Joanna of Castile, and most interestingly, on the Wikipedia entry for puns, which cites Andy's string of 31 dog-related puns in episode 111. I still see that, Chris, I'm sure you probably agree, as probably the high point in the history of human comedy. Blatantly omitted, any mention of the Bugle or Andy's obsession for her on the Wikipedia entry for Florence Nightingale. What the f***? Asks Heath. I think that is a fair question. Wikipedia, I want to know the answer. Can we rectify that? I think we deserve an entry on Nightingale's page.
I'm still slightly disturbed that you sort of assumed that I agreed with you on the dog pun comment you made about 30 seconds ago.
Well, it's just a fact, isn't it? It's just a stone-cold fact. I mean, how could comedy ever get better than that?
Maybe we should replay it soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah, we'll have a couple of weeks off coming up when I'm jetting off to the Cricket World Cup. From be bugling from Bangladesh, India and Sri Lanka. But we'll have a couple of weeks off, so maybe we'll have to replay. We can just have a pun-based bugle, all the puns ever told on the bugle.
Yeah.
Start digging them out, Chris.
Okay, anyway, I'm onto it.
So he says, cheers and keep up the good work. P.S. F*** you, Chris. There you go.
F*** you.
So, there's no passion in it anymore, Chris. You know, it just washes off you now, doesn't it?
F*** you! That's what he should have said.
That's it for this week's Bugle. Do keep your emails coming in to thebugle@timesonline.co.uk. You can follow the Twitter feed @HelloBuglers. And you can see me at a gig in Canterbury, Kent, on Monday. And Leicester the following weekend. That's all. Bye-bye.